enjoyed the good singing. As Brother Jeff said, thank Brother Marty and Sister Clarissa for leading singing and playing the piano. I want to thank the church for giving us this appointment. I want to thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity to stand. And Lost Friend, you've got another opportunity to seek the Lord. Most of all, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. You've got your Bibles. We'll begin reading in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." The Apostle Paul in Romans 3:12 says, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." And then in 3:10, he says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." "Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." I'm afraid the majority of the world is dependent on the works of the flesh, the works of their hand, the deeds of the flesh. Paul said in Romans 3:20, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." It's our schoolmaster. It shows us that we are sinners. Also shows us we can't keep the law.
That's right.
But Jesus kept the law. He fulfilled the law. He kept the law for us so he could be the perfect atoning sacrifice and die on the cross that you and I could be saved.
Amen.
And when he saves us, he comes and takes up his abode in our heart because he loves us and he saved us. Then Jesus, I'm having a hard time seeing tonight, I apologize. Then Jesus, beholding him, let's back up and look at that. "Thou knowest the commandments," and we just read those. But what does the Lord command? The Apostle Paul in Acts 17:30, and there's a lot more to that verse, but he... in the verse he said, "He commandeth all men everywhere to repent."
Yeah.
Jesus said, "Repent or perish." He said that twice in Luke 13:3. There must be repentance. But you also have to believe with all of your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You can't just make a mental decision. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to repent and you've got to believe. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." So you have to repent and believe with all of your heart to be saved, not by the works of the hand, not by being baptized, not by church membership, not by, even if we could do what we think is outstanding work, we can't work good enough. We can't act good enough to even come close to warranting salvation. We have to repent and beg for mercy. And if there's any out there that's lost, If you're depending on, it's just coming my, well, I'll get saved one day. I'll get saved one day, okay? Today could be your last day. And what a horrible thought to spend all eternity in the devil's hell. Then Jesus, verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died for us. He commendeth his love for us in Romans 5:8. Let's just turn over there and read that. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many people would give their life for someone else? How many people would swap a loved one for someone else? God the Father gave his Son so that you and I could be saved. I can't even begin to comprehend that kind of love. But we're supposed to strive to love that way. We know we can't, but that doesn't give us an out or an excuse to not to strive to love that much. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our place. He was our propitiation. He was our atoning sacrifice, our substitute. And he bore the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. And he bore the penalty. He took the punishment that we deserved. Go back to Mark. Then Jesus, start with verse 21 again. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, this man didn't get saved, or the Bible doesn't record where he ever got saved. This man didn't get saved because he was rich or had great possessions. It's because he put those possessions, his money, his riches, ahead of the Lord. You've got to surrender everything. You've got to run to the Lord. But what did this man do? He went away grieved. If the Lord's drawing you to an altar of repentance, are you going to run to the Lord, lost friend, or are you going to go away grieved? You're going to do more than go away grieved if you fail to make peace with God. You'll be cast into a devil's hell and be tormented for all eternity. That's just too horrible to even think about. But that's what's going to happen if you fail to make peace with God. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? As I said, it's not that if you got a lot of money, the Lord made Abraham, gave him great possession and riches, but Abraham put the Lord ahead of all of that. It's not that if you have a little bit of money or a lot of money or something that you can't get into heaven. But if you put your riches, your possessions, ahead of the Lord, ahead of the salvation of your soul, that's what will send you to hell. You've got to surrender everything. And Jesus explained that better than I just did in verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to put the Lord ahead of everything, everybody, all your money, everything. It is easier, verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Who then can be saved? With men it is impossible. You can't work your way into heaven. Like I said, you can't go on mission trips and that'll get you into heaven. You can't walk down the aisle and shake a man's hand and repeat a prayer and him declare you saved. With men, it is impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. The greatest miracle that can ever happen to anyone is when the Lord saves your soul. When the Lord saves a soul. The world, just like Nicodemus, I don't know how the Lord does it, but I have faith that he did it. He did it to me. He made my soul born again. I don't know if that's proper English or not, but he made my soul alive again. We're covered by the... When we're born, before we reach the age of accountability, when we become responsible and accountable for our sins, our soul is covered by the blood of Jesus. But when we become accountable, our soul becomes dead in trespasses and sin.
Amen.
And it must be made alive again.
Amen.
So that's why we must be born again. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. And I know all of you have read that. Nicodemus, how can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus explained to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Your spirit must be born again. With God, all things are possible. Verse 28, then Peter began to say unto them, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You've got to surrender everything. Everything. You've got to surrender everything and everybody. Nothing can stand in your way. You have to put the Lord first. And when we seek the Lord, when the Lord saves us, we can't repent enough. We can't believe enough without the Lord's help. When we repent to his satisfaction, the Lord will grant us that saving faith and save us. But we've got to surrender everything and repent with all of our heart and believe with all of our heart. In Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And you're going to have to let go of your pride. I don't want somebody watching me seek the Lord. I don't want someone to see me beg. The world doesn't want to beg, do they? They want to be told how good they are. They want an easy way of getting to heaven. The world doesn't want to admit that their sin, put Jesus on the cross. They don't want to humble themselves. I had to beg. I know you had to beg. David had to beg. He said, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee. Beseech means beg. Deliver my soul. Now, we may have not been crying out real loud, but the Lord don't look at the outside. He looks at the heart. You're going to have to forsake everything, lost friend. Matthew 19:29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sakes shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. The Lord's ready to save, lost friend. Right now, these next few minutes could be your very last opportunity to seek the Lord and be saved. And I know the church would tell you this altar is always open. This altar hasn't got any saving power, but it's a good place to come. I was saved on the altar in a tent meeting. I've heard of people driving down the road getting saved. Y'all heard me say before, Daddy was saved laying face down in the backer patch. Brother Danny Holland was saved standing in the corner of his office at school. So the Lord can save you anywhere if you repent and believe with all of your heart. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Seek the Lord while you have the time and the opportunity. I mean, how many... We were just talking... And I've talked several times. How wasn't anything, just like being saved, it wasn't anything I did or we did. And same thing, I mean, how blessed are we that we can hear the gospel, that we grew up hearing the gospel. Lost friend, the Lord wants to save you. Run to him. Seek him I don't understand. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. Won't you seek the Lord? May God bless you.